and welcome to another edition of Vigil. With me, Yulalee Wickham-Ashby. And today, I'm deeply honored to have in the studio with me, Tammy King. She's going to share a lot about herself, but I want to really remind all of our listeners that this is the month of love. This is the month when we hype up our expression of love to our children, to our parents, to our family members, to our nation, to our communities, you know? So we're going to celebrate everything about love today. And Tammy is a good person to share and tell us about her love journey. And you will understand what I mean when I say it's going to be a good conversation today. So welcome to Visions, Tammy.
Thank you. Hi there, Yulalee. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much.
Right. So Tammy, let's start by you telling us a little about yourself, because we're hearing the British accent and people may be wondering, who is this lady?
So I'm Belgian by descent. So both my mother and father were born and bred in Barbados. And I was born in England. And my journey here has been deeply emotional as well as physical, but it's where I feel that God has placed me to be, and it's where I needed to be in order to continue on with what I do, being a play therapist for families and children with special needs.
Okay. So as you talk about play therapy, can you explain what is this and what type of service do you offer?
So play therapy is a form of expression enabling the child or the adult to explore realms of play. And it's not just having a bat and ball, for example, it's things like exploring their emotions through drawing, with art, literal playing with play, or it can even be through using board games. And actually having, in particular, my favourite as well, to be honest, when I hear that families have taken this forward from our suggestions, where they've had board game nights, which can bring about such feelings within the family of camaraderie, but also friendly rivalry and healthy patterns of relationships within families. It can really help to strengthen the bonds which are already there in families. And I'm so, so blessed to be able to bring play therapy, which is still quite a new therapy worldwide. So I'm really blessed to work with so many varied families up and down the island.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So we're going to look at how you transitioned from the UK to Barbados and what has that journey been like for you?
Well, in the UK, many, many years ago, I was working within an office environment. And I then wanted to work more closely with helping people and helping different age ranges, but also helping family dynamics. And I then found myself in the position of working within a children's home and being a play specialist assistant. And that was working with children who had acquired brain injury. And these children had come from all over the world to receive that care within London. So fast forward a few more years, I then became a mum. And one of the things I realised is that my daughter, as amazing as she was, at just a few months old, she had very distinctive differences to other children her age. And by that, for example, music sessions we would go to, like mother and baby music sessions, for example, my daughter would be sat rotating her wrists and ankles in time to the music and perfect numerical pattern, you know, like a 1-2, 1-2, mm-hmm. Her wrists, mm-hmm. Yeah, her wrists and ankles would move in time. And it was actually the lady hosting the session who said, never in all her 30 years has she seen a child do that, be so rhythmical, a baby even, be so rhythmical with their wrists and ankles. So that was one of the signs of this amazing journey. And also she had a very robotic sense of movement, when it came to physically moving to music also. And numbers, she was, again, still very small. And at that stage, a few years old, she wasn't yet fully verbal. She wasn't talking. And I now realise, and was then later told, it was because she was non-verbal. And that can be part of the autism spectrum. And so I was faced with the fact that this was now lockdown 2020. My child at that point was then 3 years old and she wasn't talking. However, she was briefly saying numbers randomly, one, two, three. And so there I was with this dear, sweet child who I could not get to say mum or dad, but she was just randomly call out these numbers. And that was, again, another sign of autism for many children who are described as nonverbal. Nonverbal doesn't necessarily mean that they do not talk completely, but it means that their ability to talk is not following that of the majority of children their age. So I was then exploring British Sign Language, Makaton. I used to sign with her. I would also add closed captions or subtitles onto TV programs which we'd watch, which she would read intently. But again, not many words would come out, or none that I thought were in logical order. So what then happened is we did try schooling and that didn't work. And when I say it didn't work, because the autism journey, worldwide, the autism journey can be quite a long process for children to receive diagnosis. And so I had my child who was then going into a nursery environment. She wasn't writing. The teachers were saying, well, she doesn't really do much. She doesn't say much. But I know as my child, she was communicating. She would laugh at funny things we would do together. So what I then sought to doing is encouraging more of the things which she enjoyed, which was mainly play-based. Things like board games, patter cake, you know, playing games with our hands, clapping, lining up numbers as well, which is another thing that many children with autism like, lining things up. With my child, she liked putting numbers in order. And as time passed, I then found that actually it was really enjoyable. I deregistered her from school and then we went on a home schooling or home education journey. I found there were many other parents who had a similar experience. Their child may not have been communicating. They weren't communicating with words, but they knew that there was some way to get through. So just out of interest, I went on different social media sites, and through time and also being in the local libraries and meeting people, I then set up my own group of parents who then came together. We came together once a week and we looked to home educating the children with topics which they enjoyed. And at that stage of the journey, I was blessed enough to have had enough time with my child that she was then able to talk. It was almost like an explosion of words when she was then speaking. It's around about 5 years of age. And it was an explosion in that the first time I actually heard her voice, I actually thought somebody had come into the house. She was in her bedroom. I was washing the dishes and I heard a very deep, oh. And I actually jumped and thought, who's that in my house? It was. I rushed into her room and she had the biggest of smiles. And then she was going, bum, 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 and then laughing. So instead of it being the shorter burst of one occasionally, three or five, suddenly it became these longer, and the joy which I felt. And I wanted to then help other parents experience that joy through helping them with the methods which I had with my child, playing games which she enjoyed, numbers, drawing cartoon characters, constantly talking with her and using our communication, using talking, whether it be verbally or through Makaton sign language. And I then found it actually helped other children also and other families who we then were at this group with. The children were then able to communicate more freely and the parents were then reporting each week. They'd noticed more and more progress than they'd ever noticed when they were just at home with the child, or if they'd taken the children into the schools even. Now, I must add, schools in the UK are quite busy as well, but we find that quieter environments, smaller classes, or one-to-one tuition helps tremendously.
Great. And that's significant because you were able to read your daughter to understand that she can communicate and she was communicating, and you needed to do more to help her expand her communication skills. So that's excellent. And the desire to work with other parents and also assist them, that's powerful. So,
Thank you.
Tammy, as we talk about having your daughter with autism and the journey of helping her to grow, because she's now 8 years old, and you have moved to Barbados, how did that affect her or impact her moving out of England into a warmer climate, a smaller country, and so on?
Within the first week, she was so much more vibrant. I mean, the weather's so wonderful. We came from, I think it was about 5 or 6 degree temperature, very cold, very chilly. And she had this whole new aura of being more relaxed. And with her at this stage being verbal, the challenges with her autism were still that where she would become quite frustrated back in the UK, she would still find that her thoughts, it was difficult for her thoughts to catch up with her verbal reasoning or her verbal skills. And that's something which I find with many of the children I work with. I help the parents and families to understand communication's there, but the verbal skills, we just get them to catch up. So immediately, the warmer climate, being at a more relaxed pace, and also a friendlier environment, we felt. And she literally felt at home. And her learning just went from strength to strength. She's now at one of the smaller mainstream schools on the island. And she is so embraced with love around her from the environment that it just continues to provide that extra support for her to now meet her challenges with regards to interactions with peers. So now she's at almost the same range as most other children her age with interactions with peers, which I would never have dreamed could have happened. So it's just been so wonderful to see that, the school are now taking forward those, because it was 4 years of home education, which I provided to her using these methods and these skills, which I developed from having learned along my daughter having her diagnosis. I realized that actually, many of what she showed, I myself have autism and I embrace that. I thank her so much for being in my life, but actually, not just for shining a light on autism and how prevalent it can be, actually. Many of us parents ourselves, we may be unaware that we're on the spectrum, but also it's so wonderful to see that she brings that awareness to other children. And in turn, I can help other children and other families and other parents who may need help with their children. Or even themselves, because they may have an awareness, they may be on the spectrum, and I'm available to be able to help them further.
And I think that is significant because, one, you seem to be accepting of the fact that you yourself have autism, and the fact that you also have a young daughter with autism, and to be comfortable in that space, I think is extremely powerful as well. And how do you feel about, as an adult now, recognizing that you have autism, and have you seen any difference in how people respond to you with autism?
I think it clarifies so many things in my life, having that awareness of my autism. So it's a huge spectrum. And many people I meet say, well, you don't seem to have autism, or I wouldn't have thought you had autism. So I'm in the area of the spectrum, which is described as high functioning autism. By that, it basically means that my mind works overtime in working out solutions. And whilst maths, my daughter really quite enjoys maths, I was more of a book person. And interestingly, meeting with some distant relatives here in Barbados, Actually, they're not so distant now because they're just down the road. But, you know, when I say distant, in England, everybody was distant over in Barbados. But now they're just around the corner. And, you know, meeting with them now, and they said, oh, as a child, you were always very quiet. And they spoke more about those interactions. And I said, yeah, but you do realize now that actually that would be known as being nonverbal. And so it's that awareness. They're now going, oh, wow, it's bringing that awareness to them as well, that they may never have had that awareness of people, you know, being in this spectrum. It could be that somebody is fairly quiet in the workplace, extremely studious. And then when they get home, they just need that time to unwind and to actually take stock of their day. Otherwise, they'll have burnout. You know, the spectrum is so large, and there are many people who have these little glances. Actually, they may be on that spectrum, and it's perfectly fine. So things are easier for me, definitely, because it explains as well that when you have a child who has a disability, unfortunately, many relationships can be strained and put to the test, and some do break down. Some of those relationships no longer continue. And with my ex-partner, my daughter's father, we're separated, but I actually find that because we're so united, his realization now of autism and disabilities has multiplied, and he has said that. And we actually, with that understanding that my daughter has autism, and also I am also on the spectrum, we realize that there are so many things and so many misunderstandings actually that simply came about in our relationship through being on the spectrum, through misunderstandings. So it really has been wonderful to explore this journey. And also, yeah, I'd say we'd get on better now that I'm aware.
Well, I want to thank you for really sharing that part of your journey, because so many relationships really experience tremendous pull and push, you know, that tug of war in trying to balance having a child with a disability in the union and one parent or both parents not being comfortable or adjusting to the impairment. So thank you for sharing that so openly with us. What I also want to find out from you, Tammy, is back in England, when you had your daughter and realized that she was on the autism spectrum, can you share with us what some of the services available to her were like, and how, you know, you felt as a young Black woman within the health system and the treatment?
Well, I would say that during pregnancy, again, at that stage, I wasn't aware that I had autism, that I was on the spectrum. So during pregnancy, I was very adamant that I wanted to try to have my own room, my own space within the hospital after the birth of my child in order to recover. So on the NHS, it's a lot easier with which to say, okay, you know, they can make exceptions and say, okay, you know, people can have rooms, not just share a ward with multiple people. And my reasoning was that I'd always felt very sensitive to sounds, which I now realize as part of the autism, it's hypersensitivity. So I can hear things from quite a distance. And with that in mind, if there are sounds which can feel quite upsetting or you know, as in a maternity ward where many other women, as they're starting to experience those labour pains, will be calling out, and quite rightly so. I then hear it, but I also feel those strong emotions. And I say that as part of my autism. And so, where I'd requested to have a separate room, and that didn't immediately happen, I felt a lot of anxiety. I could hear a lot of noise on the ward. And was feeling quite overwhelmed. And something which I realized after that experience and after having come out of the hospital is that there are many, many women, many mothers, many expectant mothers who are undiagnosed with autism or being part of the spectrum. And because of their sensitivities, the healthcare system, unfortunately, feels that they may have a negative mental health issue, such as schizophrenia or be having a psychotic episode. So my own experience of having those intense sounds and feeling very uncomfortable, I was questioned and asked, in fact, if I could be having a psychotic episode. And I wasn't. It was actually the sounds being quite intense. And I went through various tests and they confirmed, okay, yes, you know, your health is, you know, all clear in respect of mental health. And after coming out of the hospital, I was then struck with how many people, by doing research with other mums and other organisations, other charities, that there were so many women who were in that situation, and actually they had then been placed in mental health units, or their children, in addition, being placed into the care system, because instead of their autism needs being addressed, it was thought that the mother had a severe mental health breakdown. Now, obviously, it's good to have support for mental health breakdowns, and they do occur. But because, unfortunately, many doctors within the maternity field and overall, globally as well, are not trained to recognise signs of autism in their patients, they're not putting two and two together and saying, actually, this person may be on the spectrum. Instead, they're going down a whole rabbit hole. And I know of another mum who's actually placed on medications which did not suit her at all. And it's only when she then came along to the group that I was hosting in the UK that she realised actually she was on the spectrum, was speaking with her doctor, and bit by bit was coming off the medication with the doctor's advice, because she realised actually she had autism. So all of these breakthroughs happen when you have an awareness of your own different abilities, not just for yourself, but then in others as well.
Yes. So what would you say couples and single mothers or single fathers need from the healthcare system and the community to really help in raising their child or children with disabilities?
The first thing that springs to mind are when our children with autism have meltdowns, and that's from the environment, being overstimulated in the environment, and common places for that could be the, you know, in the supermarkets or in the market stalls. What most people see is a child with their hands over their ears or shouting or screaming. And unfortunately, many then think that that is a tantrum. Now, there's a difference between a child who's having a tantrum and an autism meltdown. A child who's having a tantrum, if the parent were to say to them, no, I'm not buying that for you, they would be wound up screaming and shouting, but then that would subside enough for the child to have another behaviour attributed to it, such as the rationalising and the logic that the screaming hasn't helped, the shouting hasn't helped. Right, now I'm going to, you know, fold my arms over, or, you know, I'm going to tut at this parent, or some other behaviour. With an autistic meltdown, you can see the child is dysregulated. The child will often not even be engaging in eye contact with the parent because their mind is going on overdrive. In their mind, they're in a world of their own, and they're not even feeling and seeing, in more extreme cases, the people around them. They're just experiencing the overload. And as a community, we must stop being so judgmental when we see children and parents in public and that's happening. We can't be standing there and laughing, or the thing as well of people bringing out their phones and filming. All of that is really hurtful and places more stress on the parents. We must have that understanding. And to even reach out to the parent and just to say, hey, you know, it's okay. Or even, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help, to the parent? It makes a whole difference, rather than the judgment, the stern looks, the tutting, the harshness towards the mother and child, or, you know, the family, the parent, the father and child, the family and the child.
Okay, so Tammy, what does success look like for your daughter today in comparison to what the world expects and what success looks like for you?
Success, to be honest, the milestone she's achieved every single day, I'm so thankful. I'm Christian. I'm so thankful to God for her successes of overcoming what society had placed on her. In that she is happy, she is kind, she's caring, and she shares her knowledge of autism with others in a childlike way. So her other friends at school have an understanding of autism. That's success to me. My own success, that the organization which I'm so happy to be running here, Play Therapy with Tammy, working with
Right.
families and children with autism or with regards to play, or if they're even thinking their child may be on the spectrum, I'm happy to assist with everyone to help through play and to give them the tools with which to use with their families to encourage that love and that bonding to continue on with the families.
Okay, excellent. And how can we find you, Tammy?
Well, I'm on Instagram, Play Therapy with Tammy, and my work number 246-837-2088. So that's
Excellent.
246-837-2088. And I have a base as well in the garrison at the Barbados Council for the Disabled. So yeah, I'm open to having more families coming along in addition to the families I'm already assisting.
Well, thank you so much, Tammy, for sharing so openly with us. I truly appreciate it. And at another point, we will have you back so that we can continue the conversation and really dig a bit deeper into the aspect of caregiving and the pressure it places on couples, on parents, so that we can explore that a bit more. Thank
Oh,
you
thank
once
you.
again.
Thank you so much, Yudley. Thank you.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Tammy King, talking about play therapy, having a daughter with a disability, and she herself then recognizing that she is also on the autism spectrum. You can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website, and you can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, take care, love yourself, and love your neighbor.